The following program has been produced and underwritten by Friendships Unlimited.
It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people with the love of Jesus Christ.
Even when the rain falls, even when the blood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am lost by the water.
Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from location in Galveston, Texas. And yes, if you've heard us speaking about it at all, you knew that we were moving from Lake Charles to Galveston. And we have set up inside one of our toter homes there to do, so you may hear a little background noise. That's fine. You know, there's traffic here and there's a lot of people being fed outside. We are here today with a special guest, Don Eichen. Now, did I say that right, Don?
Mm-hmm, sure did.
Don Eichen is a spokesman for the Red Cross, and she is here in Galveston to meet the needs of people as well. Where are you from originally?
Well, actually, I live in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm down here for 2 weeks to provide care and comfort to the folks affected by Hurricane Ike.
So Virginia is quite a ways from here.
Quite a ways, yes.
Now, as far as the Red Cross, do you guys, you're all volunteer?
Yes. Well, our organization is made up of, what I understand, over 90% volunteer driven and very, very strong volunteer ethic, all of us, including myself, and we really enjoy what we do.
Okay. So coming from Virginia, do you guys get a chance to put in for where you'd like to go, or is it an assignment?
Well, we put in for the time that we would like to go out on a disaster. There's something called our DSHR system, Disaster Services Human Resources, and that's a cadre of volunteers that will go out on pretty much any kind of disaster and provide services to the folks affected. And what happened in Richmond was I heard the call for Ike, and I said, I'm available for 2 weeks. Just let me know. Here's my skills. And they let me come out for 2 weeks to do the thing I love doing the most, which is public affairs.
Mm. And before the program, when I first met you, you had mentioned that you had a little heart for Texas, a little bit of loyalty for Texas. Can you explain why?
Yeah, I used to work for the American Red Cross in Fort Worth, Texas, as a public relations specialist. And I was here in 2000, 1999, right around that time when they had the big tornado in Fort Worth. Yeah. And really, Red Cross gave me my first chance in being in public affairs when nobody else would. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to come back, be around some of my colleagues in the Red Cross, and also help out Texans.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, being in public relations, you see things from a different perspective. You get your hands on the business, but you also given a perspective that is on a grander scale. So what are the things that you see in disaster that are common and some of the things that are different?
Well, very common is the amount of stress that people are under when they're in a disaster. Some people cope with disaster much differently than others. Some are just fine for a while and then they get stressed. Others just stay stressed. And so American Red Cross volunteers are trained to handle the different types of coping mechanisms that people may have. We have disaster mental health volunteers that will come out and counsel with some of these folks. And those mental health volunteers, they may have a full-time job back home where they do counseling. So these are trained volunteers that have credentials.
Yeah. When you think of Red Cross, you think of very organized. They seem to have a real good structure in place that you can deploy rapidly. And we see that all over the world, not just in the United States. Tell us a little bit about some of the training. How do they prepare for disaster?
Well, there's quite a bit of training that Red Cross volunteers have to go through at their home chapter. There's probably about, I'd say, at least 5 or 6 classes that you need to take. It really depends on what your specialty is. You know, we have folks that go out and do mass care, which is the feeding. We have people that drive the emergency response vehicles, which are those vans or trucks that you see that carry the food to the people out in the community. We have people that do the more administrative functions, registering people when they come into a shelter. We have health services, which are nurses typically, that provide health care to folks that are in like this Galveston shelter. So there's pretty much a job for anyone within the Red Cross. Whatever you can think of that you would ever want to do to help people in a crisis, we probably have that job here at the American Red Cross.
Okay, that, you just brought up something big. I think most people, when they think of the Red Cross, they think of medical. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a misunderstanding because there's so much more to what you do.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the truck drivers, different positions available. So do you think anybody that has a heart to help would be a benefit to the Red Cross?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's really a place for everyone in the American Red Cross. You know, I know people that in their full-time jobs, maybe they're public affairs, but they want to go out and do mass care with the Red Cross because, you know, they do enough of that back home. They want to come out. They want to feed people. Yeah. They want to have direct contact with the people. Then I know other people who do a lot of direct contact in their full-time jobs, and they want to come out and just do more administrative work. So it's really up to you. We try to encourage people that have certain skills to bring them to the Red Cross, but it's really whatever you want to do, we're okay with that.
Oh, I can see just something when you're talking, I can see a little light in your eyes when you talk about this, because it seems as though people are changed, not just the people you're helping, but the people that volunteer. Something happens within them too once they start volunteering. What is that?
Well, you feel a sense of satisfaction in seeing people. They may not come straight up to you and say thank you, but you can tell by just looking at them that they're thankful that you're there, for one, and then number two, that you're providing them with some of the basic things they need. Food, shelter, comfort.
Yeah.
And you think about it, when you've lost everything, what do you normally need the most? Is the food, the comfort, the shelter, your family? And the Red Cross tries to provide some of those things. And, you know, even here at the shelter, it's not the most ideal situation, and we'll be the first to admit that. But we try to do our best to at least give people the basics so that they can rebuild and recover from Hurricane Ike.
Yes. And when she's talking about the shelter here, this is, you guys have quickly erected a, what the media has called, tent city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because basically you have air-conditioned tents. These are nice units for people to live in. I noticed one thing right away, though. One thing that you do provide an unspoken need for the people is you try to restore their dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you feel that's important?
Well, anyone who's been through a disaster will know the first thing that goes out the door is dignity, usually, because people are driving by your home, taking pictures of your home that's down to nothing. People are asking you all these questions. You're having to fill out a bunch of forms. It's almost like your life is there for everyone else to see. And there's no privacy in a shelter. I mean, that's really, it would be impossible for one to have privacy in a shelter. But we help with people's dignity by allowing them to make their own choices for their recovery. We don't tell them where they have to go or what they have to do to recover from this. This is their choice. And we encourage them every day, have a plan for recovery. And we will guide them in whatever direction that they want to go for their recovery. If they want to go and stay with friends, then we'll see if there's a way to get them to stay with friends. If they're really looking for FEMA's assistance, then we'll try to make sure that they will keep contacting FEMA, keep up with their status, make sure FEMA knows exactly where they are, how to get in contact with them. So it's a ongoing process, but we're really advocates for the people.
Yeah, that process you're talking about can be overwhelming to a lot of people, especially if they've never been through it. There is a process, and it requires some patience, especially when you're staying in a shelter and you're looking for a check or something to get you started.
Mm-hmm.
That can wear on your patience, and I'm sure that you have to deal with that as well. But the Red Cross has thought of that also. You have counselors, and you direct mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole network of opportunities for help that you provide. It's not just about Red Cross. You connect with all kinds of organizations,
with
correct?
Local health department, housing. We also have the post office there that comes around a certain time of the day to deliver mail and receive mail.
Right.
We have a FEMA tent set up so folks can go out and talk to FEMA directly directly face-to-face. There's security on-site 24/7, so if people can feel like they feel secure because, you know, a huge tent environment, there's always a chance that things can go wrong. But it's really a bunch of organizations, not just Red Cross, coming together to provide services for the people that need it the most.
Yeah, amen. Well, you were one of the first to provide a shelter for the actual citizens of Galveston. Now, you do make sure that they are actual people in need.
Make sure that they're Galveston residents, and we do recognize there may be some folks staying at the shelter who didn't have a place to live before the disaster, so we're trying to find the appropriate place to put them or to send them for more help.
Okay, and you've been here since when?
Since September 26th.
Wow. So you're going to stay for a little while longer until the need, or well, do you have a due date that you have to be out?
The city has a goal of shutting down this shelter, or at least transitioning folks over to more permanent housing by October 26th.
Okay.
So we're kind of working against the clock right now, but we're doing so with FEMA, the city, the state, everyone involved to try and get these folks transitioned to someplace much better than a shelter environment.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take just a short break here. And when we come back, I would like to ask you a little more, Don, about the beginning of Red Cross. What is the foundation and what is the heart behind the Red Cross? Do you mind doing that?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back with Don Eichen.
The Word tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship. Jesus laid down his life for his friends and even for his enemies. If God calls us to lay down our lives for people we don't know and may never see, who may not be gracious or even grateful for our service, it's our greatest privilege to do so. Regardless of what we have planned for our own lives, the Master is offering us an opportunity to fulfill the reason He formed us in the womb. He's giving us a chance to utilize the gifts He's given us and live a life full of meaning. Yes, there are giants, but we can take the promised land. Don't miss this opportunity. Is God calling you to a higher purpose?
For more information, go to www.friendships.org.
God's Navy is in need of your help. Friendships is an international Christian relief organization based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Our ships sail with humanitarian aid, disaster relief, and medical missions to many nations. Short and long-term positions available for adults of all ages. There is no cost to participate. This could be what you've always been looking for. For more information, check out our website, friendships.org, or call Port Mercy at 337-433-5022.
Okay, we're back with Don Eichen. She is a spokesperson for the Red Cross that is right here in Galveston. And yes, just a reminder, we have moved our studio to Galveston, Texas. Friendships is in the port of Galveston, and we have set up camp where we're doing some feeding and some other things right on the corner of 51st and Broadway. Anyways, before the break, we mentioned that we might talk a little bit about the history. What can you tell us about the foundation of Red Cross? How did it get started?
Well, it was founded by Clara Barton in 1881. So for more than 100 years, the American Red Cross has been committed to helping relieve human suffering. And our mission basically is that we're a humanitarian organization led by volunteers. And I'm saying that led by volunteers because we're primarily a voluntary agency and we're guided by a congressional charter. Doesn't mean that we are a government agency. It just means that we have a congressional charter to provide disaster relief following a natural or man-made disaster.
Okay. Maybe we need to clarify that a little bit, mm-hmm. because what advantages of having a charter? What's the difference?
Well, we are a primary responder when there is a disaster or when there has been a disaster. Declaration.
So government agencies will call on you? Or?
Well, yes. The Red Cross is called upon to provide services, but our services are voluntary, and we also receive financial support from the American people, and that's where we get most of our money from. A lot of people will think that we're a government agency just because the government relies on the American Red Cross to provide our services to people affected by disaster, but that's not true. Mm. We are a voluntary agency, and we're led by a congressional charter, and we also rely very heavily on financial contributions from the American people. from what I understand, it's at least 92, 93 cents on the dollar that goes directly to services. Right. So, you know, the rest goes toward administrative type costs. So the American Red Cross is very cognizant of the dollar that people contribute and wants to make sure it gets directly to the people.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, there are listeners that may want to help. Maybe mm-hmm. they can't get away. Maybe they can't come from Virginia. Maybe they mm-hmm. can't come from Lake Charles or wherever they're at. They would love to, but mm-hmm. they can't get time off of work or the family. There's responsibilities. But they can also help the citizens of Galveston through the Red Cross.
Yes,
how would they be able to do that?
Well, they can dial 1-800-RED-CROSS and they can contribute directly to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund, or they can designate their dollars to go directly to Galveston. It's up to them, and it's up to them how much they want to contribute. There's also another way that folks who have access to text messaging can do it as well.
Really?
You can donate using your cell phone $5 to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund by text messaging the keyword GIVE to HELP, the number 2 and HELP. And that will designate $5 towards the American Red Cross. So that's kind of a newer way that people can donate to the American Red Cross.
We should say that one more time because that was pretty good. Let's do that again.
Folks who have the ability to text message can send a $5 donation to the American Red Cross by texting the word GIVE and then sending that to HELP, the number 2 and HELP.
Okay.
And a $5 donation will go directly to the Red Cross. You can do that as many times as you want. You can do that 50 times a day if mm-hmm. you'd like, or just once. Whatever you want to do will certainly help the victims.
That's less than a price of a fast food meal anymore.
Exactly,
you know,
or your cup of Java in the morning.
Yeah. Now, can they deduct this in their taxes? I mean, some people will want to know that.
Yeah, talk to their financial advisor, but the Red Cross is a 501c3 okay. organization that is a legitimate nonprofit.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the other end of it, because probably a more valuable resource is the people.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody wants to get involved. They have had this burden in their heart. There's this urging to do something to wake themselves up from the 9 to 5. Something's mm-hmm. going on. And you know, you've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to get started?
Contact their local chapter. There's so many chapters across the country, and I'm sure most of your listeners have a chapter nearby. Just go to your local chapter, tell them that you're interested in becoming a volunteer. Start on the local level, because that's really the best place for you to put your services. A lot of people don't realize, but hurricanes are only a small part of the relief efforts that the Red Cross provides. People have house fires every single day, and the Red Cross is there for those folks, providing comfort kits, which have like shampoo and combs and toys for little kids. We also put them up in a hotel. We make sure that they have food or clothing, you know, a place to stay for a while until they can get themselves back on their feet. And that's every day. And people don't see that, because that's something we do on a regular basis. They see Hurricane Ike and Gustav and all of those, but they don't see the everyday disasters that people go through.
Yeah.
The American Red Cross is an there's also the international wing of the American Red Cross. Their mission is the same as our Red Cross, except they have different circumstances that they're handling.
Okay, well, this may sound a little intimidating to some people, international and all this stuff, but there's some listeners that are from a small town, and maybe they're in a rural or a farmhouse or something. How could they get involved?
In international or American
Red
Cross?
No, in American. How could they get started? Maybe there's not a chapter right there in their little
mm-hmm.
town.
Yeah. What they can do is you can have the financial contributions, number one, because that's really the only way that the American Red Cross can survive and do what we do every day. They can also get involved and maybe contact their local chapter, even if it's not close by. A lot of chapters where they will have service centers in different areas, in more rural areas. You might not know there's a chapter there, but they do provide services in your area, or maybe they're looking to start providing services in your area. And if you let them know that you're interested in helping, they may actually start providing services in that area, because they know there's volunteers there ready and willing to help.
Now, what about corporations or pharmaceutical companies, mm-hmm. things like that? If they wanted to get involved specifically for Galveston, how would they be able to do that?
We have our in-kind donations, and what happens is the corporations or other agencies will contact the Red Cross and let us know what they have available. Let's say they have ice that they want to donate to the Red Cross, or, you know, water, bottled water or something like that, they'll contact our in-kind donation office, and that individual or that function will let the folks on the ground, those of us in the field, know, hey, we've got this ice, we need to make sure it gets to the folks that need it. So we have a whole area that handles the larger donations, okay. Corporate donations, and if they just call the 1-800 Red Cross, you can get directly to some okay. of those.
That's easy enough to remember.
Yeah, 1-800 Red Cross.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, what would be some of the needs that you need specifically for Galveston right now, as soon as possible?
Well, financial contributions are the very best thing, and I'll tell you why. Because what Red Cross can do is we can use those financial contributions and make purchases here within the local area, and that helps stimulate the economy here in Galveston. Ah. So by doing so, you're actually helping the economy in Galveston, because the Red Cross is there for purchasing items, and our workers here are also here using Galveston services, you know, going to places to eat, all of that. So we're helping to stimulate the economy. And when you donate, you're not just donating for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund. You're also just stimulating the local economy because any purchases we need to make, we're going to make right here in Galveston.
That sounds like a long-lasting solution. So something more on the long term.
Yes, definitely.
And good wisdom there, too, because we've found in some of our missions overseas that as we bring goods in, you think you're helping out. There's a point where you can oversaturate that area and put some of the people that are struggling to make the business selling food or whatever you're bringing, you put them out, and they can't survive. So it takes wisdom. Red Cross, they have experience. They have the volunteers. They could always use more. They could always use more finances. And they're using this to help people.
Yes. And let me tell you, as far as the number of volunteers, and this will probably surprise some of your folks listening, but American Red Cross has involved 20,303 relief workers, and nearly 6,000 of whom have worked in Texas alone on Hurricane Ike and Gustav. Today, nearly 1,500 Red Cross workers are dedicating themselves to meeting the needs of these storm victims. Mm. So it's not just a few handful of volunteers we have out here. I mean, we have volunteers that will be here for the long haul.
Hmm. Well, there's one other thing I do want to cover, and that's something with you personally. How has volunteering changed your life? Because you have a job besides this, right? How has it changed your life?
Well, I work for the government where I live, and if anyone listening knows what it's like when you work for the government, you don't always get that warm and fuzzy feeling. And people don't always smile when they see you or smile at you when they know who you work for. Yeah. So coming out here with the American Red Cross has really given me a new way of looking at people, at the world, because I actually feel like I'm needed here more so than in my full-time job. I know, yes, government is needed, but it feels good to provide the same type of skills that I do in my full-time job for an organization that is so well-respected, so well-received here in Galveston. And I just get that whole warm and fuzzy feeling when I can hug someone or help them out in getting to the next phase in their recovery and getting in touch with the right person.
Do you think that sense of purpose has translated itself into your personal life with your family and in relationships?
Yeah. I mean, every opportunity I get, I try to show some sort of appreciation to people because, and I was just telling some folks today, this could be any of us.
Yes.
Any of us could be in this shelter right this moment, having to endure the hardships that these folks are enduring. You just don't know what the next day will bring. And so I feel like it's really my duty to provide some sort of comfort or care for these folks, because at some point I could be one of them, or it could be one of my loved ones out there. And I feel like I'm giving back, and hopefully if I'm ever in that situation or one of my loved ones are, someone from the Red Cross or someone from an organization like the Red Cross will come to them and help them just as I have.
Well, listen, I know you've taken some time. You're very busy over there. We really appreciate you coming by today and just enlightening us a little more of what the Red Cross is. I think a lot of our listeners know of the Red Cross. Everybody knows of the Red Cross. But to hear from somebody that's been the inside has been very delightful, and we appreciate you taking the time. Are you going to stay around for some food, or did you guys already eat?
It's quite possible. We'll have to see.
I think they're serving gumbo, so they brought a little Louisiana up here. If you're in for gumbo, you're... thank you all for joining us today. We'd like to invite you back here next time, where we bring you interviews of people that are impacting your world. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.